Please remain standing as we open our Bibles together to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. The book of Isaiah, chapter 2. Tonight we'll be looking into verse 6 to 22. Isaiah, chapter 2, starting from verse 6 to verse 22. This is the word of the Lord. For you have rejected your people, the house of Jacob, because they are full of things from east, and of fortune tellers like the Philistines, and they strike hands with the children of foreigners. Their land is filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. Their land is filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is filled with idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their own fingers have made. So man is humbled, and each one is brought low. Do not forgive them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust. From before the terror of the Lord, and from the splendor of His majesty. The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of man shall be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Against all cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lifted up, and against all the oaks of Bashan. Against all the lofty mountains, and against all the uplifted hills. Against every high tower, and against every fortified wall. Against all the ships of Tarshish, and against all the beautiful craft. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of man shall be brought low. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And the idols shall utterly pass away, and people shall enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground from before the terror of the Lord, and from the splendor of His majesty when He rises to terrify the earth. In that day, mankind will cast away the idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to enter the caverns of rocks and the clefts of cliffs, from before the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of His majesty when He rises to terrify the earth. Stop regarding man, in whose nostrils is breath, for what account is he? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, tonight as we look into your word, into this marvelous book that we normally call a mini Bible in the Bible, the book of Isaiah. We ask you to help us as your people to see your glory, your majesty, and your sovereign rule over all the universe, and also over our own life. Oh Lord, help us through this sermon tonight to see the vain, proud, and loftiness of man, and the exaltation of you, our God, over all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you remember what happened in December 13, 2003. If that is hard to remember, what about the Operation Red Dawn? The operation by American Special Forces in Iraq, which led to the capture of Saddam Hussein. Remember that day? We have been told about that day. The military concluded their two objectives successfully, but they didn't find Saddam Hussein. And as they were waiting for the helicopters to come and take them back to their base, one of the soldiers kicked off a piece flooring in one side, and he saw a spider hole, a hole in the ground, covered by a sheet of polystyrene bricks and carpet on the top. And as they covered the hole and were ready to shoot, one of the soldiers saw upraised hands that belonged to a bearded and ragged man. The soldier told him to identify himself. And the man who was raising his two hands said, "I am Saddam Hussein, the president of Iraq, and I want to negotiate." You know, Saddam Hussein was a very proud and terrorizing ruler in Iraq. The terror of Saddam Hussein was over all Iraq and his neighboring countries. He was a ruler who killed thousands of innocent people in Iraq. He lived a very luxury life. He built more than 20 palaces in the country. But on December 13, 2003, my friends, he was found hiding in a hole with rats. The man who once said, "I will destroy all my enemies, I will destroy the United States of America and Israel," brought low on that day. He was humbled and was ashamed. You see, the people of God, God has determined a day for the humbling of Saddam Hussein. But what is fearful in our text tonight is God also reserves a day like December 13, 2003 to humble His own people. A people whom He chose for His own glory, for His own worship. He preserves a day on which He literally humiliates His own people. A day when His people, also like Saddam Hussein, would abandon everything they treasured to hide in filthy places and caves. Beloved, the lesson that we should get from the sermon tonight is this. God exalts Himself even through the humiliation of His own people. Whatever happens in this world, whatever happens in the life of the people of God, in the journey of the people of God, God always exalts Himself, even over the humbling of His own people. And we'll consider this under three main headings from our text. The first one, the pride of man, verse 6 to 8. And then God's opposition to the pride of man, verse 9 to 21. And then God's counsel to man to stop trusting in man, verse 22. So let's look into the pride of man first. It's clearly demonstrated in verse 6 to 8. I don't know how many of you would remember it, but in my previous sermons from the book of Isaiah, We saw how God built up His temple in Jerusalem. On the top of the hills, on the top of the mountain in Jerusalem, God built up His temple. And His expectation was that His people will worship Him. That His people will choose Him over all other false gods in Israel. That they will remain to be faithful to Him in their worship of God. In chapter 1, verse 21, you remember how God described Jerusalem, how the faithful city has become a whore. She was full of justice, righteousness, lodged in her, but now murderers. That was the sad feeling and sorrow of God about Israel through the prophet Isaiah. But He called Jerusalem the faithful city, the set apart city, the holy city. But now all of them are murderers, blood in their hands. They have become unfaithful to Me. Where humble people will worship the Lord. That was what Jerusalem was supposed to be. Celebrate the goodness of God. Praise Him over all other false gods. But here in our text, Isaiah complains that the people were doing something else. Instead, they exalted God. They were exalting man. Instead, they worshiped God. They were worshiping false gods that they made by their own hands. There was no justice. There was no welcoming heart to foreigners and aliens. Murder everywhere. And religious idolatry everywhere. The sin of rejecting God in favor of man. They maintained the external of true religion. They would go to the temple. They would sacrifice. They would celebrate the Passover. But their heart was far, far from God. In hearts, they were trusting man more than God, as if man should be trusted more than God. You see their wickedness. You see how they were misled by false gods but also the riches of this world. Their love and confidence was in man. You see, their sin was not unique to them. Now this is the point, you see, for all of us. This sin was not unique sin for Israel only. At times, it's also your sin and my sin. It's also the sin of the Church of Jesus Christ today. There are times in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, that we put our confidence on man more than God. There are times that we worship a God that we have made by our own hand. And in our own mind. A God that we control. A God that we put in a box and manage that God by ourselves. A God whom we want Him to do the things that we want Him to do in a way that we want Him to do them. That's not the God of the Bible. That was the problem, you see, with the nation of Israel. Some sins are the sins of all people. These same sins are the sins of all people. These are our sins. The New Testament talks about this sin. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. That was the sin of the people of Israel. Their mind, their heart, the desire, the affection was on man, on the things of this world. Now think about Israel. You remember at the end of the first section of this chapter, God called the people of Israel to do this one thing. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Which was meant, you see, God was calling His people to be the light and the salt of the people around them. Now they love darkness. Now they are no more the light and the salt of the world. Now they are worshipping man. Now they are worshipping horses and chariots, silver and gold. They love money more than the God who delivered them from the bondage in Egypt, from the hands of the Babylonians, Assyrians. The God who loved them with an eternal love. You see, now they worship the things of this world more than the God of the Bible. They are no more the light and the salt of the world. Notice verse 5. Come, let us walk in the light of the world. That was not happening in their life. Was there a time in a Christian life where you kind of stopped being the light and the salt of the world? Was there a time in your Christian life where people never saw light, never observed salt? Your saltiness was gone. That's where the people of Israel was. They were drawn to the world. Notice verse 6. For you have rejected your people, the house of Jacob. Why? Because they are full of things from the east. Assyria, Babylon, pagan nations. Culture, new culture was coming to them. Culture that doesn't recognize God, the God of the Bible. They were welcoming all kinds of cultures. Because they are full of things from the east. And fortune tellers like the Philistines. They were actually going to fortune tellers and they were asking them, no, you know what? We don't want to hear the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob anymore. We want to hear you. Tell us about our future. Tell us what's going to happen to Israel. Well, you know, the God of the Bible, we know what He's telling us, but you know, we don't really trust Him. Fortune tellers tell us what's coming to us. And by that very action, they were abandoning the Word of God. Picture what they were doing. They stopped reading the Word of God. They stopped meditating on the Word of God. You see, the moment you abandon the Word of God, you stop reading and meditating the Word of God, and then, you know, definitely you will have your own plan, your own God. Someone is going to lead you. But definitely that God, whatever God it is, it's not going to lead you to God, it's going to lead you to destruction, to darkness, utter darkness. You leave God and you leave His Word, you are in deep darkness. You act like an animal. Let me show you what happened to their life. Full of things from the east, pagan nations. Fortune tellers, I already explained what it means. And then silver and gold, the riches of this world in verse 7. And then horses and chariots. You know, they were actually saying, these are our strengths. We depend on horses and chariots, not on God. Our power, our might is on horses and chariots. And then, notice verse 8. In verse 8, he said, their land is filled with idols, false gods. They bow down to work of their hands to what their own fingers have made. And that was false worship. You see, all the crisis, all the pride of man is presented to us in verse 6 to 8. Then we come to God's opposition. In verse 9, Isaiah says, "So man is humbled, and each one is brought low. Do not forgive them. Enter into the rock and hide in the dust from before the terror of the Lord." You see what's happening, my friends, here? God, according to His Word, now He's opposing the proud. He's opposing the pride of man. 1 Peter 5:5-6. "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. I read it again, to you who are young. Young in the faith. Young in the Christian walk. Listen to this. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders." The elders in your family, but the elders in your church. Humility. Be humble. Don't be proud. Seek counsel from the elders. Love them. Respect them. That's what Peter is saying. All of you with humility. You see, close yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God, now listen to this, opposes the proud. That's what He was doing in Israel. He literally came to Israel to oppose their pride. Anyone who make an image of his own God will never heed to this warning. Will never humble himself before God. Notice verse 12 and 17. "For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Against all the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lifted up, and against all the oaks of Bashan, against all the lofty mountains, and against all the uplifted hills, against every high tower and against every fortified wall, against all the ships of Tarshish and against all the beautiful craft. And the haughtiness of man shall be humbled, and the lofty pride of man shall be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." Have you heard how many times Isaiah said against? God will stand against all these kinds of pride, proud heart of men and women in Israel, and He's going to oppose them. He's going to oppose them. In the book of Daniel chapter 4, we have a king by the name Nebuchadnezzar. He was a very proud king. He didn't believe in God. He was a pagan king, and one day he had a dream. He dreamed a very great tree reaching out the skies of the heaven. And I'm going to show you three things in relation to the pride, proud heart of this king, humiliation, and confession about this king. First, the king expressed his pride by standing outside of his palace and God first told him through Daniel about the dream that this great tree that reaches heaven is you, King Nebuchadnezzar. God is going to humble you. And then listen to what the king did. First, the king in verse 24, we read this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste and declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men, chapter 4, verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king. It's the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will. That was a warning. Now listen to what the king did in verse 30. And the king answered and said, is not this the great Babylon which I have built by my might power, as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? After he just heard the warning from God, he goes out to his, outside of the palace, and he said these words, this is my glory. I built this for my majesty. While the words were still in king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you. And you know what happened to him. These all things indeed happened to him. He started crawling like an animal and eating grass. God humbled him. The day that God reserved for this king came upon him, and he was humiliated. And then listen to what he said after humiliation. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, my senses returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And He does according to His will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say to Him, what have you done? Pride, humiliation, confession. At the end, who was exalted? God was exalted. Only God. No one else. Through the humiliation of this king, but also his own people. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, the Bible reminds us that God has reserved a day, a judgment day. He reserved a day for the enemies of the people of Israel. He destroyed them. He reserved a day for Saddam Hussein. He reserved a day for King Nebuchadnezzar. He reserved a day for you and I to be humiliated sometimes when it's necessary for us to be humbled. For you and I, there is always a day where God comes to our life and He humbles us. He humbles us and exalts Himself over us because He loves us. He cares for us. I want to encourage all of you to read Revelation chapter 6 when you go home tonight. You will see how people will react to the final judgment day, going to the mountains and caves, saying, hide us, we refuge, refuge. It will be too late. It will be too late. Lastly, God's counsel to man to stop trusting in man. Listen to these words in verse 22. Stop. You see? God is saying, don't do this. Stop regarding man in whose nostrils is breath. For of what account is he? Stop trusting in man. Redeemer, we should never depend on man. Any man. This is our God. He will exalt Himself over His people, over His church. He's going to build up His church. But you and I should never be proud of ourselves, proud of our faith, proud before God and man. Our only hope is to cease from depending on man. Did you hear the call to worship tonight? I chose that purposely. Do not trust on man. Do not put your trust on horses and princes, but on the God of heaven. Stop trying to please man. Stop worshiping man's ideology. Man's breath here is not only the air that man breathes, but also the counsel he gives to you. It's like the breath of his nostrils. One day it will stop. One day we all will return to dust. That's the end of man, my friends. Only God exalts or should be exalted. Instead, look to God. To turn from man and look to God. We all are proud, but we need to look to God. Because God opposes the proud. You see, that's what He did with Saddam Hussein and other proud people in the history of our world. So, God opposes the proud, and then what about the humble? What does God do with the humble? The Bible says, God opposes the proud, but He gives His grace to the humble. Gives His grace to the humble. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now you might ask, you know, I like to be humble. I hate pride. I want to be humble. I want to be meek. But Pastor, how do I do that in my Christian life? My friend, you do that by considering Isaiah chapter 2. You do that by considering what God did to His proud people in Isaiah chapter 2. You do that by considering what God did to King Nebuchadnezzar. Then you fear the Lord because you love Him and you humble Himself before Him. You learn from the past, from history, how God handled prideful people. And how God blessed the humble, the meek. Consider the promise of to the humble. I oppose the proud, but I give my grace to the humble. But above all, my friends, consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Jesus said about Himself. You know, Jesus said many things about Himself. And this is what really touched my heart. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus also said, I am the humble. I'm humble. I'm humble. Why do you think Jesus was humble? He's the Son of God. He's God. He's the Creator. God who became flesh. Why did Jesus become humble? Before God, the Father, and man like you and I. Why did Jesus wash the feet of His disciples? Why did Jesus live in the house of someone else? Why did Jesus become hungry and thirsty? And there was a time that he was without clothes when he was on the cross. Why? 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 The reason is you and I would follow his example and be humble towards God and towards one another. The day has been reserved for the proud, but the humble will receive grace. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God and our Father, help us as your people now to humble ourselves before you, to leave this place saying, this message was for me, for my good, for the good of my soul. Help us to receive what we heard from your word with humility, with a determination to leave this place, to apply these things in our Christian life. Above all, O Lord, we pray that you would give us the ability to trust only in you, to depend only in you, not on men like us. Men like us who sometimes love us, who sometimes cherish us, and sometimes they change towards us. But you never change. Once you said, I love you, you still love us, and you will continue loving us. You never change. Your love never changes towards us. Even only that reason should humble us tonight. You are unchanging, God. Your love is unchanging. Your commitment towards us is unchanging. When men and women around us sometimes change towards us, you never change. Thank you for loving us the way you do love us. We love you, we praise you, we adore you, we exalt you over our own life and over your church. Praise and glory and majesty belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. Bless us. And make us humble. Rescue us from ourselves, from the glory of man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.